Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is the United We Stand podcast around the Liverpool game at Old Trafford. Sigh. Hear us out, though. There's some decent people on this podcast. There's some interesting points as well, and we appreciate the support of our partners. Do you like to bet on the football but don't have the time to research your selections? Well, Footy Tipster's here to help. Fellow Red Stamp and his team provide all the football tips from the major European leagues, including United games. The lads at Footy Tipster put hours of research into finding the best bets for their subscribers and email their selections straight to your inbox hassle-free. They've been running the service for over 10 years and they've ended every single season in profit. If you want to beat the bookies, simply head to footytipster.co.uk and claim your free 7-day trial. If you enjoy the service, you can carry on for just £10 a month. And if the service is not for you, simply cancel with the trial period and don't pay a penny. 18 plus. That's footy, F-O-O-T-Y, tipster, T-I-P-S-T-R.co.uk.
Right, welcome back to the latest United We Stand podcast. James Young. Manchester United are playing a team called Liverpool tomorrow at Old Trafford. And I'm joined by Sean, who writes for the Mag. And we've been at a music festival today, haven't we?
We have. It's Manchester Sight Fest, big day in the calendar.
And just tell the listeners who aren't familiar with Sight Fest, you know, what is it?
Sight Fest is, I'm a little bit biased because my close friend Gareth runs it, but it's been going for 10 years. It started as a day festival, night and day, 10 years ago, and now it's become this monster across the city, across venues like Albert Hall, the Ritz, Gorilla, amongst other places, and yeah, it pretty much sells out every year, and it's become a big day in the calendar.
Right, and some of the bands that you've seen today, who's been your favourite so far that you've seen?
I've only actually caught one so far, a band called La Luz at the skate park near Hardwick, but there's a band called Daystar playing the Breadshed and Oxford Road in an hour or two from Austin, Texas, and they are brilliant, so if anyone's not listening to them, I recommend it, but me and you are going to go.
Yeah, right. Soon, right? Tomorrow, the last time I did this podcast, I was actually stood in this exact same spot after we beat Liverpool in the FA Cup. I don't think it's going to be quite as exciting as those two games at the end of last season, but I think we've got a bit of a chance.
Long term, I'm cautiously optimistic. Short term, tomorrow, no.
Why?
I just think they look like, despite the change of manager, nothing's changed. Like, they're just immediately into the flow. Hopefully I'm wrong. We do sometimes turn up against them, so hopefully I'm wrong, but not high on confidence tomorrow, I'll be honest.
Oh, I mean, this is the thing with United. We lose to Brighton, a bit like last season. Lose to stupid teams and then they go on and somehow win the FA Cup final. They've got this weird thing where it's the same under Van Gaal to an extent. They're so inconsistent that you still can't predict what's going to happen.
You're right. Like, I couldn't even tell you what the lineup's going to be. I don't think we've got Ugarte over the line in time, right? But no. Look, hopefully we turn up. It's always a big day, so fingers crossed.
Yeah. What's the thing you hate about Liverpool the most?
I'm one of those who would rather sit down and talk to a match-going Liverpool fan than a match-going City fan, which people sometimes meet with a different reaction, so I don't quite hate them as much as them. But I don't know, you get in the ground and you just flip the switch, don't you? Like, particularly going to Anfield, it's just fucking putrid.
I'm friends with a lot of Scousers, and they're fine until you start talking about football.
Agreed, completely agree. I was there actually on Wednesday for a gig watching Fontaine's DC, and like, you talk to the people in the pubs and they just sound as fuck. It's not actually that much different, if we're completely honest. People don't like to admit it, but yeah, it comes to football and it's just a red light goes up, you know.
Yeah. What's your score prediction?
I mean, I can't go back on what I just said, can I? So I'm going to go 2-1 Liverpool.
Whoa. What about the rest of the season then? We've got the European draws coming out soon. I just wanted to touch on that because it's a bit of a piss take, but we're stood here now. It's 4 o'clock on Saturday. The draw was done on Wednesday, and we still don't know what time the games are actually taking place.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm stood here outside the Perth refreshing United Stand Forum trying to get all the fixture dates. With every passing pint of Guinness, it becomes more difficult to book flights. It is a piss take. Champions League fixtures are already out. But in terms of long term, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think the way we've been in the market is so refreshing. the way we've become accustomed to utter shite, but now we're back to like a proper club, then fingers crossed. It won't be an overnight success thing, but I think give it 2 or 3 years and I think we'll be back where we belong.
Do you think we've got a chance in the Europa League this season? Because I thought my biggest disappointment for Ten Hag has been Europe, because especially last season with that Champions League run and the year before, throwing it away against Seville, you know, there's a really good opportunity there for him to win another a trophy.
Yeah, last season was awful. Don't speak to Andy about that because he obviously doesn't like to talk about it. But I think this season, particularly with no Champions League teams dropping in the new format, then there's absolutely no reason why we can't win the competition.
No, exactly. Right, thanks for speaking to us, Sean.
Nice. No worries, man. Cheers.
Right, we're with Nathan, who works for the Manchester United Foundation. You've got an important game coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, so this is our Legends game that we have once every 2 years. This time we've got Celtic coming down, which should be quite fun. I know that Celtic sold, I think, almost 1,000 tickets in a couple of days after we launched this game. We know those Glaswegians like to come down and have a bit of fun, so that should add an extra bit of spice to what is normally a very nice day. And ultimately, the point of this is raising money for the work we do in Greater Manchester. So we've assembled a pretty decent team. Wayne Rooney, Dimitar Berbatov, Darren Fletcher, Michael Carrick, Paul Scholes, among others. So good to see support from those lads. The game kicks off at 2 o'clock. Saturday the 7th. Tickets are still available if you go to manunited.com. But yeah, the point of this is to raise money for the work we do across the region. Really important work, working in deprived areas with some of the most vulnerable young people in our community. So this kind of contribution goes a really long way, so any support we can get from Reds is very much appreciated.
So for people that like don't know, what role does the foundation actually do? Because people see the Manchester United Foundation like brand, but I don't think people quite know how much like what they actually do. You alright?
Well, mate, you okay?
Yeah, right, mate. Yeah.
Good to see you. Yeah.
I see you more than my family.
Yeah, so the way I divide it up is into two things. I'd say education and community. And to me, community is at the heart of what we do, and that is proper Manchester United. And community is, obviously football focused. We have our community football project, Street Reds, which is a free to attend session. We operate in every borough of Greater Manchester, and it's in areas where kids might be tempted to go down other routes, negative pathways. They can come down, play football with the mates. There's a Man United coach there that they can enjoy themselves. In fact, last week we launched a branded Sir Bobby Street Reds in Mosside. So this is it's a joint venture between ourselves and the Sir Bobby Charlton Foundation. And I kind of think for Sir Bobby, what better legacy for someone who was the type of player to be whacking balls off walls, practicing his skills on the street, to leave a legacy in Manchester where kids are going to get that opportunity in a safe space to come in the evening, play football with the mates, with a coach. What could be better? So that's what we do in the community. In schools, we work in 77 partner schools across the region, special education, lead schools, primary schools, secondary schools, and each one of them we have what we call a hub officer, so it's a member of our staff that work in there, and they kind of act in like a pastoral capacity as well as an educational one, so they'll offer additional opportunities to kids that might not otherwise get it, but sometimes they'll just work one-to-one with certain kids that are just not settled. They might be missing school, they're just not settled, and it doesn't mean that they're a bad student, they're just not getting that extra engagement and support that they need. So our guys will be in there, they'll have Man United tracksuit on, make them slightly cooler than a teacher, let's say, and kids will warm to them and they'll grow. And we've seen over the past couple of years individuals who have really been struggling proper flourish and come out of themselves because of the work that we can do, the opportunities that we can offer them. So I think for people that are from Manchester that support Man United and sometimes get disillusioned with Manchester United as a football club for various different reasons, to me this is Man United in the community doing what a football club should do, and hopefully people can buy into that, and yeah, support us either by coming to a Legends game, making a donation, but yeah, it's something that I take a lot of pride in, and hopefully people listening to this do as well.
Well, that's what a football club should be, you know, like people talk about them as community not enterprises but part of it in that regard, in the way that that's how they help people out, and that's what they should be doing. You know, the priority should be the community, and I think a lot of people forget Manchester United is a football club in Manchester first, you know, and that should be the priority, really, you know, always.
I think that's what I like about the foundation, is that like it's amazing that United is such a globally known brand, and like you all know, like better than any of us, like you go anywhere, you mention Manchester United, you can spark up a conversation, and that's great, but it must never lose that root in the local community. And people that grow up in Gorse Hill, in Stretford, who have this enormous facility of Old Trafford on their doorstep to see it every day, should not look upon that as being out of touch or out of reach. And, you know, I love going to our, like, to Street Reds. Once I finish work, we'll go down and I'll get some bits for social media and stuff. And I just love just seeing these kids just enjoying themselves. And we've got coaches running the session. Sometimes we get players going down supporting, whether it's academy lads, women's team, men's team. And, you know, that's a bus for them as well. You know, these things can be so close to them geographically, but seem so far away at times. And it's important that they should see someone in their community, in their school, that's representing United. Because that's like you say, this massive thing should uplift the community and not separate itself from it. So I feel it is something that we should really, you know, really be proud of. And just on a separate note, besides the Legends game, we've had some amazing support through the season ticket donation scheme, when people have, like, very kindly donated unused match ticket costs to our foundation, which raised, I think, over $500,000 last season, which makes a massive difference. You're talking about these coaches being, we're able to fund coaches for years in these schools because of these donations. That are, it's genuinely life-changing work for these kids, you know, and that's what you say, that's what a football club should be.
So when you donate your tickets to the foundation, because I know people sometimes pass it on to mates, or there's other options now in terms of forwarding tickets on, but when you pass that on to the foundation, you know, that really does, you just explained, go quite a long way into helping you, you know. It's welcome.
Absolutely. Honestly, if it was all that money, all your ticket money goes straight to us and is invested back into our work, and is supporting young people, whether that be, as I've said, in the community work we do, in schools, giving them extra opportunities to come to games. We will link in with other organisations that are completely not football related, but to give these kids insight into other worlds and potential career opportunities, whether it's music, Formula One, like science, engineering, like all these things that we'll take them to, like, we can use the power of Manchester United to forge these connections, to give these kids an opportunity to see something that we're just so beyond. You know, a lot of these kids, like our CEO John Shields calls it their 10-minute world, you know, where they live in Livingshire or Rochdale or wherever it might be, they don't go any further than that, they don't know anything beyond that. So if we can use our, you know, influence to give them an opportunity that might just send them down a different pathway that they would have never gone on. I mean, what is not to like about that?
Today, what's going to happen?
This is a question that I'll struggle to answer now.
No one knows what's going to happen.
No, they don't do it. It's such a weird position at the moment. I've said this to you before, that we're in a third year of a manager where you normally, of that third year, there's a great deal of expectation that comes with that. But then it's also the first year of an entirely new, you know, what's kind of set up above him. So Ten Hag could argue this is the first time that he has got this support, but every time there is a defeat, the pressure will mount upon him, rightly or wrongly.
Do you remember turning 30, 40, 50? What did that feel like? How do you think about looking after your body now compared to how you used to? How do you make sure that you've got the energy and focus to get the most out of your life as possible? Do you find it strange how uncomfortable people are talking about their age or getting older? Do you notice change in your hair, your skin, nails? What routines do you have to combat this? AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 vitamins, minerals and other ingredients, including gut-friendly bacteria, antioxidants, high-quality mushrooms and more. Just one scoop of AG1 once a day contains the nutrients you need to support your mental performance, energy, heart health, and immune system. AG1 supports sustained focus without a coffee crash. AG1 provides nutrients that make sure that energy gets you to where you really need it. Minerals like copper, chromium, and phosphorus help to unlock the energy from your food. AG1 helps support your heart and the formation and maintenance of red blood cells. AG1 is your daily dose of vitamin C, zinc and more to support your overall immune health. Trusted by athletes, F1 drivers and the founder's dad, you can get your money back if you're not happy. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription. Go to drinkag1.com/UnitedWeStand. That's drinkag1.com/UnitedWeStand. Check it out. drinkag1.com/UnitedWeStand.
So today my kind of view is, I really don't know what to expect. I wouldn't be too fussed with a draw. I feel like there's a lot of people that feel like I need a win to ignite the season. My view is it's going to take time. I'm not really answering your question here. I'm always glass half full.
I think we might win.
I do. My gut feel is draw. But I really hope we do. Go 2-1 United.
All right, 2-1 United. Right. Harry, hello.
It's on.
Yeah, it's recording. European draws yesterday. Have you booked any of your flights yet?
Bucharest.
Yeah.
And a placeholder accommodation.
Right.
The same in Pilsen and Porto, but not both flights. I'm pretty buzzing with it.
Nah, it's a good draw.
It's the European draws gone.
Yeah.
You've got perfect mix of like a lovely Western European city, Porto, pretty much as good as you can get. Good drink, sun in October, perfect date as well, like early on. Istanbul's always great. I don't know whether I'll go back after Galatasaray last year, but I'd be pretty tempted. It's one of the most magical cities I've ever been to. Although the weather was shit, as you'll remember.
Yeah. Seem to remember.
Pictures of this Georgian restaurant where there's like on a hilly road and a river coming down this hilly road, and this like drowned rat walked into this restaurant. We have like some nice steamed dumplings and some nice Turkish beer and everything. Drowned rat walks in and he realises James Young's luscious locks are stuck to his face. And anyway, we slowly dried out and I made our way to Galatasaray. So I don't know if I'll do it again. I'd like to, but
hopefully the Fenerbahce police won't try and crush us outside the stadium.
Yeah, well, as Will was saying, he'd do it if he could guarantee he wouldn't have to stand in a river for an hour without a ticket.
Wait afterwards for nearly an hour to get back at the expense of the taxi drivers on a motorway.
And to be fair, also, hopefully United won't throw away three goal leads at every fucking ground we go to. Pilsners, Eastern Europe, good beer. Also the kind of place I'll never go to unless it's for United, so that's 10 out of 10. And cheap flights to Prague, Prague's great city. And then Bucharest is the golden standard.
For people that may be thinking of going to watch United Fenerbahce, it's also worth noting that there's two airports in Istanbul.
Yeah.
And if you go to the other one by mistake, it costs you a lot of money to go from one side of the city to the other.
Even if you go to the right airport, you'll probably be late anyway. The traffic is nuts. And you'll probably have to bribe the taxi driver to take the pole road. But for all like the basically scamming you get in Turkey, it is worth it. It's just the best city.
Yeah, it's quality.
Sitting on Galata Bridge, looking at the Asian side of Istanbul with the sun setting above it and like glinting off the far side of the Asian side was just, and like there's lads fishing over the top of you. I remember sitting there just like, this is, I've never, you know, people talk about falling in love with cities and like being caught by them. Never really had that with another European city, but Istanbul definitely did that, and the kebabs.
Yeah, and the kebabs. Yeah. You never felt that with Salford?
No. Maybe with a precinct.
Today, what's happening? Are we going to win?
Don't know.
No.
We've got a feeling Ahmad will score.
Yeah.
Again. I thought he would probably try and get to 60 minutes at 0-0 with Mount creating that slightly more solid team. But with Mount injured, he probably just has to go for it again. And I've got enough room with that.
Yeah.
If we lose 4-3, we got it. Yeah. But I'd love to see another. If Liverpool come out on top, I'll be gutted. But I'd love to see another of the games like the 2-2 and the 4-3. Where you just think this is exactly why I come to Old Trafford to watch football.
I mean, we both watch football all over, right? But there's nothing like Old Trafford when it's rocking against Liverpool or City. Like,
and I'm excited to see
every single corner
with Stretford fully joined up. thinking after the Fulham game was good, better than you would normally expect for Fulham or even for an opening day. But this will be the test of, does it actually make a difference? I think it will. But like, is it really noticeable? I hope it will, because a full tier twos or upper tier is always good for the big games. Tier A is obviously good for a big games where we'll be. But being in the centre with a new atmosphere section on above the tunnel, it could be pretty amazing. It'd
be interesting to see Barnsley in the League Cup, whether that's going to be quite the same, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the thing for me that's going to be interesting as well, the new ticket system they've got. They've obviously clamped down on people passing on tickets, but it's going to be loads of kids that are going to be able to, well, hopefully go to that League Cup game.
Yes.
Are you going to give, like, loads of six-year-olds all burner phones to get into the ground? Or, like, how are you going to do it?
Yeah, free Snapdragon phones if you're under the age of 12. I think what's mad about the system is the lack of flexibility.
Yeah.
There's got to be an option for, you know, we've all heard stories of people's dads or granddads who are just left absolutely flummoxed by this stuff. And even, like, I know, like, some of my dad's mates would be proper confused by it.
Well, I had a ticket for Fulham and I was in a mad position where I couldn't forward it on. It was locked to my phone. That just surely can't work as a system, right?
That's silly and that's annoying. But I'm more, if they're going to do this, I disagree with it. But fair enough. For the kind of standard match goal, I understand, but there's got to be some wiggle room for kids, elderly people, because that's where it's really actually going to hurt. Like, you found the workaround, because you switched on, and you find shitty phone mice in Salford when your phone breaks. But other people might not be so lucky to have your specific set of skills.
Actually, you'd be impressed with my gadgets. I bought a Bluetooth keyboard right when I was away, and I was filing some pieces I was doing with the keyboard on my phone on Google Docs. So I was using my phone as a typewriter with the Bluetooth keyboard. Game changer. You don't need to bring your laptop anymore to a game room. You use your phone. Bluetooth keyboard.
What city were you in while you were doing that?
I was in a hotel in Mendoza.
Yes.
And I had a woman on reception telling me how she spent Christmas in 2013 in Altrincham.
What did she think of it?
Apparently the next was really good. That's what she said,
I bet Eric Ten Hag is thinking very similar things these days.
Massa always used to be spotted around Olsen.
Yeah, I saw Massa a few times in Olsen. I had a few work meetings in Olsen Market. And Massa was there. Yeah. Solid nice. I mean, we all know how nice he is, but like, you hear stories and then you bump into him and he makes an active effort to say hello, and then we had a really short chat and then 20 minutes later we were leaving and he looked up to like wave goodbye. Like, this guy's
now that those two goals against Liverpool as well,
amazing. All days, I don't want to talk about that. I was at Anfield the year before that, which was also good, really. 84th minute winner or something in off the crossbar. That's when Jones, Carrick, Ashley Young, I think, won in the away end. Rojo. I remember Rooney scored, and I think we were 10 rows behind Phil Jones, and I just saw like 15 lads leap onto him before for an injury prone player. This is an absolute nightmare. Bruno said he tried to go Anfield away when he was suspended for a game in December.
Yeah.
And eventually, like, security didn't quite work.
Yeah.
So it's still happening. I think Rashford said he went in a few years ago as well, in disguise, and no one noticed. It's pretty impressive.
I think that's
love it.
The problem now, again, because of like social media and stuff, like, everyone would film it and straight away, like, that's kind of ruined the whole point of it, you know.
Just, in terms of like building connection with players, if you see them in the away end, even if they're doing it, some people say, oh, it's a PR stunt. They're taking the time out of their day to go and watch it.
It's a shame that Mourinho never took up the offer of going on an away trip with the fans.
Well, Eric's promised to go on a monkey bus, isn't he?
I wouldn't hold me to that. I don't know.
I think he said in his interview, it's Andy's classic question, isn't it? Where are you coming from? Yeah. Maybe it might be for a major title, so Champions League or Premier League. But one day,
maybe.
Eric Ten Hag on the monkey bus.
Maybe.
If you could go on one away day, and either, it doesn't matter who, but either Eric or Jose were to be on the monkey bus, which would you choose?
Oh, Mourinho, by a mile.
Yeah, but which fixture as well?
You
probably want a nice long one to get them off to Southampton or...
That's a tough question. Yeah, maybe like Swansea or Southampton or somewhere like that. Or like... We never really had it with Mourinho, but you know, you used to have those games under Ferguson where the title was like pretty much sealed and there'd be like three or four games left at the end of the season and it was just a fucking piss off.
Yeah.
One of those would be great because it would be a lot more relaxed. Whereas I think Mourinho, you could say the wrong thing and he'd just be an assault. Like, he put his headphones in, he wouldn't speak to you.
Imagine sitting with Jose, sulking Jose on the monkey. Oh, you can have him on a Christmas one.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
Everyone bringing on their random shit.
I just love those. Jose Mourinho's Instagram is the best thing. Yeah. It's just him on a plane with his headphones on.
Yeah.
Oh.
Keane started a similar vibe to his Instagram, playing up to the character. But
yeah, the shopping bag photo.
I think he said his daughter was doing it, and it stopped recently. The Jose reunion in the November, is it? Yeah. Or end of October? That'll be interesting.
There's another reunion in Manchester. Oasis that have got back together. Have you got a ticket?
No. I tried yesterday morning. I was on for about 4 hours for two Manchester dates. I got in probably about just after 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And just as I got in, they swapped the tickets to the end of my own. I saw it, and then the tickets weren't coming up anyway, but I could have tried all day. £350. We were saying the most annoying thing about it, like, it's a joke charging that much anyway for a band who claims to be like a working man's band. But the worst part about it is not telling people before. So like, I was prepared to spend a stupid amount of money, £150 for a gig. But then you spend 4 hours waiting and then you're told you have to pay £400. Like, you just wasted 4 hours of my life. Like, completely misleading.
I think there'll be spares though.
I think so, yeah. My girlfriend got one.
Yeah.
So if anyone's got a spare for Wednesday at Heaton Park, I'll take it.
There'll be people listening to this who will have spares for Wednesday at Heaton Park.
Well,
and you'll probably maybe get like a knock on the door of someone with like a ticket in his jean pocket or something like that.
Yeah.
So get in contact if you've got a ticket for Harry Wednesday at Heaton Park for Oasis. We're saving this so we can go back to it. In like May, June, if you still have to one, we can put another call out.
Yeah.
All right, that's one. Same thing happened against Brighton last week.
seems to be giving the ball away far too easily when they're coming out of defence. So sloppy. I mean, it could be 3-0 if that goal was allowed to stand. And it's really frustrating because, you know, United are actually not playing that bad. But we're 2-0 down. That's how it is.
Yeah. Second place is all
I can't see them coming back into this. We'll see, but very frustrating. Right, it's full time. United 0, Liverpool 3. I'm with Dave. We're outside Old Trafford. What did you make of that?
Absolute shite. Yeah.
That wasn't me. That was somebody else. I was pretty disappointed. I did have high hopes for this team. They all seem quite young. They all seem to be quite together as a group. But I think Liverpool just took the mickey out of us completely. Stoking the ball around. Casemiro didn't fill himself with glory. I thought De Ligt was quite interesting, you know. He was a pretty good... he played pretty well. Mazraoui as well. So I think with time, but I think there's going to be big pressure on Eric now. Not for myself personally, I'd like him to say, but I think that we've got a squad now that where... Any manager could come in and say, right, I've got a good bunch of guys here. They're all in their early, mid-20s. They can all do a job. I thought Rashford was absolutely rubbish. You know, I'm a big champion of Marcus Rashford. Listen, if his mental health not good, if he's not got the right attitude, and he's not playing well, just put him, you know?
The frustrating thing is, United had 4 chances to score there today. And especially in that first half, they gave the ball away so sloppily. You know, they could have been 1-2-0 up inside the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the through ball for the first goal of theirs was a bit unlucky, you know. It was a good pinpointed pass. Unfortunately, got intercepted. They went down so I went into scored, you know, straight away. So when you're 1-0 down and then 2-0 down, you've still got a chance. Once it gets to 3, they actually did start taking the mic out, didn't they, really? You know, they were passing it around, ole is going round and what have you. And it doesn't mean that they're a million times better, just when you're 3-0 up, you know. That's what you can do.
Did you bump into any Scousers, Sally, or not? Do you get any either of them?
No, not at all. Have you bumped into any?
No, well, just the usual, like, you know, same.
Well, I've
same,
noticed yeah. They've done where the away yeah. fans go yeah. in. They've done like, it's like a tunnel now, have you seen
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so they've got like, yeah, I don't think anyone these days is going to football matches. In fact, I was looking at the stats the other day for football arrests, and the biggest one is League Two.
Yeah.
Second biggest one, League One. Third biggest one, Championship. And the least arrests are at Premier League games. Because it's completely safe, and I mean, just look at this now, you know. No one kicking up, is
no. there? Well, I think if you let Liverpool fans out at full time, it might be a different story, but.
The only ones that I've ever had problems with here are Leeds fans.
Yeah.
They just don't care, yeah. you know. Scousers have possibly a little bit more respect. I think yeah. we have a bit of a grudge and respect between the two communities. But Leeds, they just march down here like yeah. maniacs wanting yeah. to smash people's heads in.
So. Right. I'll leave you to it, Dave.
Okay.
Great to meet
see you,
man.
James.
Yeah,
always,
yeah.
Bro.
Take care, yeah. So, we're with Ivan. We're at the Bishop's Place after the game. Is there any positives we can take from today or not?
I'll try to think of many, but it's more clear to the hierarchy now, to the new bosses, where we stand, and start with the problem that they've got on their hands. Even with all the new players, even if it takes time for them to bed in, and even there was a massive hole in number 6, I struggle to see how we can blame on individuals. Even if you put people, new people like Garter there, if you don't set up your team to and your players to perform at their best and hide their weaknesses, they'll struggle. I hope and I know that new people who's got experience much bigger than mine in football, like Ashford, like Wilkins, they will see it and they'll make their judgment. They probably already have, but it will take time. There's not many.
Did you travel from Newcastle today for this?
I travelled last night, yeah.
Right, so, and then are you going back tonight or tomorrow?
At the moment, it's not going to be a sort of story. I've got nowhere to live, so I'm staying in Manchester with my mate for the next few days, and I have to work out where I'm going after. But might be going to London, might be going to Newcastle, might be staying in Manchester, we'll see.
So, last home game against Fulham, you got a night bus all the way back to Newcastle after the game on Friday night.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was good because we won.
Yeah.
Definitely was. It made it easier by the fact that we won. And it was late, it was delayed. Yeah. Only got home about 5 o'clock in the morning. But it was worse, it took me about half an hour to get served in Bishop's, so I only had one pint, had to down it to make the bus. But it was great because we won. But it wasn't enjoyable on the ground that day, to be fair, for the first 80 minutes. We did struggle that day, and it felt that nothing really has changed from last season. And then Brighton, I wish I could go, but I couldn't get a ticket, and I watched on the telly, and we actually looked alright. I thought we lost 3-1, and a game of margins, but I thought we looked alright. We looked better than any game last season, except for Liverpool, maybe City at Wembley. But it was a good performance, and then today just feels like back to square one. I thought we played well for the first 15 minutes maybe today, and then it just all went to shit. And
Yeah, it just seems like my concern is that it's the same mistakes again. Against Brighton that we saw today, almost identical the way that we conceded the goals.
They put us under pressure, and we're not good getting out of the press. We just put the ball forward. We've got someone like as a target man, Dirks, who's 6'6" now, where he couldn't win a single header. Then we start kicking it to Rashford, and he didn't even contest them. So there's more questions than answers right now, and it's more of whether you look at the things in the little mistakes and the little problems, or you look at it as a big picture and you try to solve that. But I think it's the last 11 years were difficult, and every different manager had different problems to deal with. I think right now this manager got all the problems of the last 11 years on his plate. He's got 5 or 6 massive issues where players crumble under the pressure, the football shit, we don't have the right players, and we set them to fail. And arguably the manager might not be good enough to do that. So we'll have to hope and believe that the next few weeks will be more positive, but we don't play well away. We don't get results at home, we don't score goals, we don't create chances, so it's hard to look at it, but you just, as a United fan, you have to believe. And even today at 2-0, second half, you've still got 45 minutes, you hope that we get an early goal or something like that, and then the early goal goes the other way. Casemiro had a terrible game, and I think football left him, as someone said on Sky Sports, and Kobe was under pressure for the third goal. But when you set teams up, your team up, and you don't give players options, you ask them for impossible tasks, and you have to help them overcome them, and I don't think we do that very well. And that's a question whether players on the pitch can rile each other up and help them, or that's a managerial task.
Well, again, I don't understand. He's on massive wages, but if you had the chance to sell Casemiro or give him such a long contract in the first place, is the problem, you know.
Yeah.
Why is he still there?
I don't know. I guess judging from the press, there was no takers even from Saudi. Don't get me wrong, Ines did a really good job this summer, and they got a read of a lot of people who shouldn't have been there. So Casemiro's probably another one, but who knows whether he should be there or not. Maybe under a different manager or coach, he will do well. But it's the same story like with Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. They don't really sell players in their prime, and so if you're buying players from those clubs, there is something wrong. And putting 60 million, but at that time it was a terrible season under Radnick and Ollie and Carrick, and that was a terrible season. We started the next season terribly, and Ten Hag, Eric needed any help, so it was a panic signing, but it was a different setup that time, and we were ready, we were prepared for them kind of thing that 2 years ago. But we're not helping. We struggled to score. We've not scored many goals last year. We've not scored many goals since before, bar Ashford. We concede a lot. Well, then we go and sign defenders. We don't sign, we signed one striker who's not scored many goals last year in Serie A, who declares himself as number 9.5. So he's not a 10, he's not a 9. He's not an out-and-out striker. He's going to link people up and play. But it doesn't seem like he was the missing piece. And we signed the right back, we signed the centre back, two centre backs, sorry. Signed defensive midfielder, but who's going to score the goals? And that's a massive issue. United is known for its attacking play and for going and putting teams on the back foot. And
we are in, right, but we are in the Europa League this season.
Yeah.
Have you got supplies yet?
Positive. My passport ran out of pages, so if I can
really?
Sign it out. Yeah.
Is that
I've travelled to that many United games over the last few years, so my passport ran out of pages, and because it's a Ukrainian passport, they've just changed the law a few months ago, so I have to go back to Ukraine to get a new passport. At the moment, I can't go.
Right.
But Bucharest is definitely on the wish list, and it's in January, so hopefully things change by that time. Porto is a massive disappointment because I always want to go to Portugal with United, and I've missed Benfica. We were talking about Braga in the ground today as well, and that seemed like a good day, but I was too young to go then. But I'll definitely try to go to Pilsen. I'll definitely try to go to Bucharest when more time allowed. But yeah, hopefully United is all about, at the same time, all about meeting your mates and having good times away and supporting the team abroad and supporting the club abroad. And I will be gutted to miss them, because for the last 7 years they were the highlights of my years, really, going away and supporting United all over the globe. So hopefully the lads will have a good time, so win or lose we'll have a good time. But you would expect to win home matches, because that's the expectation at least.
Shame we didn't get Rangers away. That would have been fun.
That would be unreal. I don't need to get stamped in a passport for that as well. I was hoping for that in Shamrock Rovers for then conference, but there was a few good aways. That Bodo Glimt would have been a good one as well, in over the Axel Circle.
Hamilton Icos as well.
Powock, isn't it?
Powock, yeah.
Powock in Athens, yeah. Powock is in Athens or Thessaloniki?
Thessaloniki.
In Thessaloniki, yeah. It's a massive port city. It would be great, but listen, going to places like Romania isn't a given.
Have you been before?
I've been to Bucharest on the way back from Moldova, from Chisinau.
Right, okay.
And it's a good night out. They've got a good stretch of bars, a good old town here. Bucharest is a great.
I wouldn't expect someone to say Bucharest is a good night out.
It's a good night out, yeah, you have to be careful, but it's a good night out. And they've got Arc de Triomphe, which is a bit smaller than one in Paris, but it's a good, Bucharest is a good city. They're very cheap as well,
a lot of stray dogs. I've been warned about the stray dogs in Bucharest.
Well, that's like Eastern Europe. That's Eastern Europe in a nutshell. Chisinau, those who went to Chisinau, remember those loads. Bucharest is very similar to that. But yeah, it's got its own character and it's going its own something about itself. The Ceaușescu House is massive as well, the massive palace, so you have to see that. But yeah, definitely the bar street will be filled with Reds, and people have a good time there.
Right, I'll see you there.
See you there.